pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So you didn't have some. I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
So moved.
Second? All in favor? Aye. Like sign for nay? Okay. Now we'll go straight to the performance objective process.
Great. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope everybody's having a nice warm out today, so everybody's having a great day. So we are in our workshop number two, continuing on from last month's workshop. Since then, I did, as requested, provide y'all a workbook, right? I'm holding all the different things that we're going to be reviewing. Dr. Ling has also put together a presentation that he's going to be going through. And then based off of the discussions and where we go through, there may be other documents that I have ready to pull up that we can view. So I'm ready as needed, and we'll have those available if we do need to cover some other areas. But I'm going to go ahead and have Dr. Ling get started. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Appreciate the opportunity to visit with you this afternoon in this workshop. Hopefully everyone was able to receive a copy of the draft document. It is a draft document. Today, what I have on the agenda for you is a brief discussion of the additional research that we've done since our last meeting, as well as some of the factors that led to the three primary components we've proposed in the general manager's review. And as you may recall, three components include a section that's strategic, very similar to what you're utilizing now, basically the same questions, so we maintain that consistency. And the metrics as well as the strategies that you're evaluating on a regular basis would include competencies. Those competencies are based on the research we did of the third party or those other organizations that were reviewed on your behalf, as well as information shared with us about what the board members in the last meeting felt might be important to include from a competency standpoint. And then the last component, being something that we probably spent the least amount of time talking about in our last meeting, would be goals. And we've divided the goal structure between goals that the board could set. Based on your current directive, you have the ability to identify goals above and beyond the strategic goals that are included in the evaluation, and so that's accommodated in the form. But also we added a section where the general manager could identify personal professional development goals as well, or initiatives that he or she wishes to engage in the future. And so what I want to do, again, is walk through each of those components. I'm not going to read the form out. I want to leave as much time for discussion, but I want to talk a little bit about the information we utilize to arrive at that recommendation with you. So if we take a look at the first slide basically provides a summary or overview. Okay. Oh, is there a controller here?
I'll get it from the
So sorry.
Well, no problem. Change in venue. I wasn't sure how to move the slides forward here. Okay. All right. Thank you. Perfect. Thanks. Want to start off by, again, talking about where we're at in the process. We're near the completion of the work that's involved in our engagement with you. Talk a little bit about the peer practices. More of your peers participated in the survey that we provided to them about how are they evaluating performance of their general manager. Talk about the review process. So there's steps that you provided feedback to me on in our last meeting, as well as we reviewed best practices of what would be the best way to move through this endeavor in the time of the year that you'll be doing the performance evaluation. Then talk about the pros and cons of the elements we included. Again, those three elements that I shared with you in my opening comments. And then talk a little bit about the compensatory or the bonus element that many peer organizations utilize. And I want to share some data with you about, in essence, how generous they might be in the case of utilizing a bonus structure. So if we take a look at the process, we started this journey really by looking at where is KUA headed. And so my first set of questions that I had for Brian as well as the HR staff was really about what is the direction that the organization is heading in, what are some of the strategic priorities, review the documentation that this board worked on in regards to your strategies, your objectives, as well as your goals. Spend some time also discussing job duties with Brian. He was good enough to spend an hour with me on the phone, talk about his typical day, some of the things that are very relevant in his job description, and highlighting those for me so we could review that as part of the process. And then we held our first workshop. which was all of you last month, then we finalized that collection of best practices. So you may recall that we looked at five organizations. Those were the early responders to the survey in our previous meeting. Many of the responses that I'll share with you this afternoon that came in after our first meeting actually indicated that they don't have a formal mechanism. And I'll talk to you a little bit about what they're using in lieu of a formal mechanism. Then we went through the process of developing the tool and the process, which we shared with you before the meeting, and now we're at workshop two. So we're at that discussion. Hopefully, coming out of workshop two, we'll work with Cindy and her staff to finalize the documentation and come back to the board. This meeting is not intended where every decision be made or you take any type of action. Again, this is an informational meeting and meeting for you to share feedback with us. If there's changes you wish to see or you wish for us to explore some components in a different manner than we did, we're happy to do that before providing an updated draft to you coming out of this part of the process. If we take a look at peer practices, and I know it's a little bit small, what you may recall from our last meeting is we found that the trend seemed to be that most organizations were looking at something beyond the strategies and goals that had been identified. The vast majority did consider the strategies and goals within their organization, but many of them were looking at competencies as well. And part of the rationale for that, and I believe I shared several quotes with you that we had collected, relates to many organizations feel, I might have a leader in place that is excellent at helping us reach our metrics, but they're not building the team, they're not developing people, they don't have the maybe the personality characteristics or the competencies necessary to interface with the public. And so many of the peer organizations we reached out to on your behalf indicated we measure more than just the outcomes. And if we don't measure more than the outcomes, we have some mechanism that points to elements that are relevant in the personality or leadership style of that general manager within their organization. In addition, a number of them had goals that they were looking at. So again, as I mentioned, the three primary elements we've recommended to you are the most reoccurring elements among the peer organizations that we took a look at. And among those that do not have a formal process in place, they follow an informal process among the board members. Meaning what they do is they have a meeting among the board members, they have a discussion about competencies, the characteristics, how well do we do as an organization. And in many cases, they utilize a presentation or a written document from the general manager that indicates his or her conclusions about what has been accomplished during the year. And so what they have instead of a formal form that they're utilizing, and those that you'll notice that do not have something formal in place, they have a process, although they don't have a form. And that process involves the general manager standing before them, typically in a workshop setting, and covering the state of the organization, answer any questions they might have, and then the board goes back and deliberates on that information that was shared with them. In a few moments when we talk about the process, I'll share with you how we've combined together, in essence, the best elements of both of those approaches. So giving the board the most flexibility, the most information in order to make decisions as you go forward and in the future with the general manager. So the process that we're proposing is four primary steps. We are recommending that the president, general manager, work with or collaborate with human resources to prepare a supporting document for the board meeting. And so I mentioned to you last time that one of the things that we're encountering among your peers is something they refer to as a performance notebook. That being the idea that all of the documentation related to the performance in the last year would be in one resource for you. Now, many of them indicated that in the past, that performance notebook was literally a big binder that had the logo on the front. Most that we have been in contact with since our first meeting have indicated, yes, we had a book in the past, but now it's all electronic. You know, we're making the transition to providing that in electronic means. In essence, what that does is give board members each of the major elements that they could review, if they so desire, in completing the review process. In addition, that supporting documentation gives you that deeper dive, if you will. If you have questions about, well, what do employees really feel about this issue? Or what did the data look like last year compared to this year? Or what are some of the goals we added 2 years ago, and what are the goals that we're adding this year? In essence, that resource puts all that information together for you in a single, in essence, document or a single set of documents. Number two is then the self-assessment form will be completed by the general manager. So he or she will go through the process of completing the same form that you do, but on themselves, and they will generate a state of KUA, or in essence, for the lack of a better term, almost like a brag book or a brag document that indicates here's all the good things that occurred during the last year. In many cases, among your peers, they also identify opportunities for greater success in the future. So it wouldn't just be here's everything that went well, or just our strengths as an organization. It's also here's the things that we really hope to have a bigger outcome or better outcome, and that didn't take place. And so I think the example I shared with you last time from one of the utilities that we worked with is they had the dam that broke and it flooded some neighborhoods. When that gentleman that was in that position prepared his synopsis related to that reservoir, quite a bit of his areas for improvement that he identified as more preemptive or a more future-looking analysis on the age of infrastructure and replacement of infrastructure. And so, again, wouldn't necessarily be all positive. They had a very quick response in that example that I gave you. The public felt like they were very quick to deal with the issues that arose. But in that gentleman's state of his organization, he indicated, well, we really need to have a better inventory of our infrastructure and preventative maintenance that we need to do in that regard. That supporting documentation would come to the board, so you'd receive that written document as well as that book that I mentioned to you, or those documents that make up that book, and you would also receive that self-assessment. So this is all for your review and provided to you. Then after reviewing the materials, board members would have the opportunity to individually meet with the general manager to discuss his or her performance. Most of your peers indicated whether they have a formal process or not. The board members have an opportunity or a window that's made available to them in which they can meet and ask specific questions. A smaller group of your peers have that in more of a workshop setting. The vast majority, it's one-on-one meetings. And so we recommend one-on-one meetings if you so desire. And then they'll complete their own evaluation forms, taking into account that discussion with the general manager, that initial documentation that was provided, the self-assessment, as well as that written narrative about the state of the organization. And so, again, maximizing the information that's available to you before you go through the review process. Many organizations indicate that their board takes somewhere between 30 and 60 days to go through that process. So there's a little bit of a ramp-up that goes on. Why they do that is, in many cases, they indicated that those binders, if you will, or the electronic equivalent of those binders, were quite lengthy. And board members needed to review that over a relatively long period of time versus a day or even a week. And so they indicated that there's a review period that begins. They have roughly 30 days to review. Then they have a 30-day period in which they can interact with the general manager, and then they provide their evaluations at the end of that period. The compiled results are then if there is a computation, and I know last time you shared with me some were in favor of there being a numeric indicator or some type of average that comes out of the process. Others indicated that it might make more sense as narrative. We have put together the form where you could provide both, although you could decide you wish to go in one direction versus the other. But once that information is gathered and it is combined, then that feedback and those thoughts are typically shared with the general manager. And so there's a more formal review process that occurs related to that. In all of the cases, there is a written document or set of written documents that comes from the board members to that general manager, and typically there is a conversation or a feedback session that is conducted with that individual as well. In some of your peers, that's behind closed doors, so that's executive session where that's not a public meeting, that's where that information is shared. Where others, that's a public meeting where they provide that feedback to the general manager. Then HR compiles all of this information and maintains this information on an ongoing basis. And so these records are then kept by human resources. If there is a compensatory change, meaning if those peers change pay based on these results, which not all of them do, but many have a mechanism in order to do that, then HR would document that as well. And then that information would be sent to payroll, and then future board members or even the same board members when the board goes through the process again has ready access to what have we done in the past, what are some of the comments, what are some of the notes we made about the goals, and so that's a readily available record made available to future boards as well as current board members. As I mentioned before, there's three primary components we're recommending to you, and as you were able to review in that draft document, the strategic outcomes, which align with what you're doing currently, competencies, which are slightly different or an expansion on what you're doing currently and based on the assessment of certain characteristics of the general manager, and then the goal section that we discussed very briefly in our last meeting that we had with you. There are pros and cons to each of these. So there are things that you're accentuating and things you're minimizing as part of adopting a three-prong approach. With strategic outcomes, it probably is the best indicator of how well the general manager did as the highest level leader in the organization at aligning the organization with the vision and mission identified by the board. And so in going through and identifying those strategic objectives and measures, you're laying out that roadmap of what's important to you and what should be important to the general manager and the organization as a whole. It also sets specific base goals. It provides not only that, a resource allocation map. So although you're not saying general manager spend this much money or this much staff or this much effort in this area, in essence, you are. You're providing that roadmap that then the day-to-day decision-making as it relates to resources can be aligned with what you've identified. And the third piece is it should align fairly well, more than 80%, with the board's priorities, what the board expects to see in the coming year. And that should be an umbrella that affects, again, the resource allocation as well as the initiatives that the general manager will be involved in. Some of the challenges, sometimes organizations measure the wrong factor. And so when we asked some of your peers, and many of your peers utilize the same approach that you do, they indicated, well, we really didn't know until the end of the year. We weren't measuring exactly what we wanted to measure to get the outcomes we wanted. We measured something else, something related, but maybe not exactly what we wanted to measure. And what their advice was really that the board each year look at those measures and make sure you're comfortable with the same measures going forward and give yourself the liberty to adjust the measures for the coming year based on your deliberations or your review as board members. Second thing being that you may have overlooked some of the realities of the operational environment. And so some of your peers indicated board members in setting some of those measures may not have firsthand knowledge of what resources are available within the organization and what is possible going forward, especially into the future-looking year. And so they indicated that in many cases when that feedback session occurs at step four with the general manager has the opportunity to say, I recognize this is a very important issue. I recognize this is the goal that you're setting as it relates to the strategic outcomes and the measures, but here's my concern. And that's documented 1 year, in essence, before that review takes place, was the advice that they provided related to that concern. And then the last being, there's many things you're probably interested in as board members, but there's not readily available measures in many cases. And so that's another challenge that they mentioned, that the board many times will say, I want one number that captures, are we successful in the community? And many times, success in the community is measured by a whole variety of things. Or I want one number that indicates the perception, the reputation the utility has in the community. You can do a community-wide survey. You can do customer service surveys. You can use a variety of approaches to gather that information. But rarely is it a single indicator that would tell you this is your reputation within the community as a whole. And so that was the other concern that they expressed, that finding that balance of a manageable number of measures versus everything we'd like to know. Or take action on as board members. With the competencies, it does focus on elements that tie into the organization and the organization's culture. It does link directly to the general manager's behaviors. Again, many of your peers that indicated they have a competency component, what they're concerned about is, does that leader talk the talk as well as walk the walk? Are they a good example for the employees? Do they espouse the ideas and the behaviors that the board sets for them, and they use the competency component in order to do that? Some of the concerns there is it can be inflated by the reviewer. Many organizations, not just as part of the research we did for you, but we've done for others, indicate competency-based assessments tend to be high or low. There's not much in the middle. Either the person's doing it or the person's not. And so many times the competencies are viewed, they have it or they don't. It's yes or no, like the measures that you're using with the strategic indicators. I make it or I don't. The other being that it does require more thought. And so some of your peers indicated this is one of the toughest areas for the board, because unless they've been able to observe the interactions of the general manager, sometimes they're not so sure about some of these factors. And so it places the burden on the HR department or the equivalent within that organization to put that in that binder you receive, to provide those morale surveys or those engagement surveys, to provide the equivalent of your SPAs, to provide the information that would help you identify if those competencies are present. With the goals for the board, most provide a very direct line to the board priorities. So as priorities change or as boards have additional concerns beyond the overall strategic, so many times the more tactical things that might need to be dealt with, this can be a very positive element as part of the review to lay out that framework. And also it creates dialogue for new initiatives. And so many of your peers that responded to our survey said, this is really the way we come up with new ideas. We start talking about what the general manager has as goals or his or her vice presidents. Then we start talking about what the board would like to see, and it helps us refine some of those more tactical level goals that we have at the departmental level or at a more operational level. It may be too easily attainable or too hard. One of the concerns expressed is it goes both ways. Some organizations pick goals that no one could ever accomplish, so they're more than stretch goals. They're really just unrealistic, where others pick things that are softballs, if you will, easy things to hit, easy things for the general manager to demonstrate competence in. And so that was some of the advice provided by your peers. And the second being, it can create issues with negotiation. And so two of your peers that participated in the process indicated when they get into the goals or that section of the discussion with the general manager, it's not a discussion, it's almost a debate of did we reach the goal or not. And so their advice in those two cases was make sure the goals are as explicit as possible or just don't provide them. That was literally a quote from what they provided. If you can't measure it or recognize we made it or we didn't, then it's probably better not to provide the goal. Instead of being a formal goal, provide guidance as board members. And then the last was setting the self-goals on the part of general manager. It really links the review and the organization's efforts to the personal actions or goals of the individual. Even as a general manager, we continue to grow in those roles. We continue to learn new things. We want to expand our efficiency and effectiveness, even in those roles. And so that was something they said it was very beneficial and many times surprising when the individual would come back and say, this is an area that I really see an opportunity for my own growth and or for myself and the executive team. And so we'd like to participate in this in the coming year. And so a lot of positive comments from your peers in that regard. Some of the concerns, it may require more effort on the part of the board because from time to time, what that general manager will identify maybe something that wasn't under consideration by the board. And so there may be a little bit of due diligence and research on the part of board members. And the last concern, in one of the two cases that expressed concern with goals, they indicated sometimes the general manager selected something that didn't really coincide with what the board wanted. It wasn't so much it was against the efforts or the outcomes of the organization. It's just not what they would have selected as a priority. And so then a dialogue has to occur about, well, we understand that's a goal that you have personally, but we really feel like that's a lower priority in comparison to these things. And so, again, it opens that dialogue and that discussion, but it can result in differentials between the general manager and the board. But each indicated that that typically ends with more healthy feedback and direction than what would have occurred previously. And one of the two indicated as well, it's much better to have that dialogue than to find out a year later that was the priority that the general manager made a decision on and move forward with without interacting with the board previously. So those were the major elements shared from your peers as it related to their operational results. So this is where the rubber meets the road. We didn't speak with any board members. We spoke with executives, HR staff, other individuals on the staff side. So these are the things that we're being told about the elements that we're including in our review. The strategic elements, again.
Question.
Yes, ma'am. Certainly.
You did not talk in house. You went to other places, right? Sounded like you talked to.
No, let me clarify. No, we had that conversation with other utilities, and not with their board members, but with the staff that interact with their board members.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome. This is included in the packets that you received in advance. These are your strategic goals. That's the first section. That makes up the proposed form. These are the competencies. There's two sections where you'd be able to see the competency scores identified by the general manager, as well as you would have the opportunity to rate those on a scale of 1 to 5. What's not present here, because I blew it up a little bit bigger, but what you'll see on your form, there's also a comment section where you would be able to provide comments or narrative. We made it small only to save paper and printing it for you. More than likely, HR would deploy this electronically where you would have a lot of room to include any type of comments or feedback. We just wanted to provide you something that was succinct, easy to print, as well as easy to view today. In many cases, your peers indicated in completing the competency assessment, although narrative is not provided by every board member on every competency, that 4 or 5 competencies typically receive some type of narrative from the board members as they go through and provide feedback. A subset indicated as well that they require narrative on each competency from the general manager, meaning because, again, remember one of the concerns they express is this is something you may not observe as a board member because you're not here every day. So they indicated it's very helpful to have the general manager give some examples as part of his or her self-assessment to give you an idea of here's how I've demonstrated these behaviors. And that's helpful to the board to have that documentation as well. With the goals, we've identified prior year's goals, comments, as well as next year's goals and comments. So going in after you have completed a one-year cycle, as you go into the review period. So if you implement this beginning in April of this year, next April, this coming year's goals would be documented. You'd see them listed. HR would prepare all those forms for you and send those out to you. There would also be comments that could be provided, then you can provide comments as well. The self-assessment completed by the general manager would include comments as well about those goals and the status of those goals. Then you collaboratively, as a board or as individuals, and then later working together collaboratively as a board, would identify next year's goals and go through a process of setting what those might be. With the bonus, we did ask all of your peers, as well as a subset that didn't participate in the more detailed survey, well, you go through all this process. It's very time-consuming on the part of the board, the general manager, human resources, other staff that's part of your organization. What happens at the end? So after you do this briefing, you give the general manager the feedback. Is there a raise? Is there a bonus? Is it an attaboy? What really happens that the person receives coming out of this? And most indicated they provide some type of tangible reward or some type of financial reward. There are three different mechanisms they seem to use most often. One would be a percentage of base. So they would provide a certain percentage of base that could either be a bonus or rolled into base that general manager received coming out of that review. The other would be a flat amount that the board either would select a flat dollar amount, we're going to pay a bonus or we're going to add to base X thousands of dollars, would be the approach, or that it would be a flat amount that you're going to be cut a check in the form of a bonus for X thousands of dollars based on the good work that you did over the last year. The other third option, they're included in the graphic, would be where it's linked to some other type of metric. And this is where the most common approach is they link it to the pay increase that's provided as part of the organization as a whole. So your current approach, your current contract that you have with your general manager, ties his increase into the increase within the organization. Among those peers that utilize a similar approach, if they do have a bonus structure, they tie in the dollar or percentage of that amount somehow into the bonus. And so I'll share with you in a few moments what they indicated the range would be in that regard. And so the bonus percentage typically falls between 2 and 5%. So among those that do pay a bonus and it's a percentage of base, they pay somewhere between 2 and 5%. The highest level that we found, not part of your core sample set, but 10% would be the highest amount that we found in any of the peers that we reached out to in regards to bonuses. But that's an extreme example where there's quite a bit of transition that's going on in the organization, and some stretch goals have been identified for that general manager. And basically she was told, if you can successfully do this, this is the carrot, in essence, at the end of that transition. So most average between 2 and 5. Those that give a flat amount pay somewhere between $3,000 and $15,000, with the most reoccurring being right around $8,000, being the dollar amount that's provided. And those that linked typically go no higher or are somewhere close to between 1.5 and 2 times the increase that the individual receives. And so in essence, if I can receive a 3% increase, the most that I could receive in the form of a bonus would be another 3% of my base pay that I receive in the form of the bonus. So these are the most common practices among those that pay a bonus, among your peers. Among those that roll it into base, they typically align with that base percentage. It's somewhere between 2 to 5, 3 to 6, depending on the region of the country. And that would roll into base and obviously benefit that general manager on an ongoing basis because that's cumulative. It builds up over time. And it also pays into their retirement or goes into calculating what their best years would be as part of their retirement. However, the vast majority, even those that have something that rolls into base, indicate that if their state law allows it, they're beginning to look at a bonus structure versus a base pay structure. So there's some states that don't allow a bonus to be paid to any public official. In those cases in which they do allow bonuses, even if they're paying into the base pay, they're looking at a bonus mechanism to put into place in the future. And many of them indicated that's at the behest or at the request of their board that they're doing that. So that's what I wanted to share with you this afternoon. I know you probably have some questions for me. I'd be happy to answer any questions that I might or talk further about what I've shared with you this afternoon.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have questions. One of the things that I noticed is if you're going to tie someone's review to the strategic plan and the general manager's evaluation needs to coincide. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to use it. So you've stated in your documents here that it would be in March. That wouldn't be true. We'd have to switch it and go to September.
Okay.
That was one. And then there's just various and sundry things in here that I just wasn't really sure about. Like, for instance, where you say that you're preparing this information for a board meeting. Actually, we probably wouldn't be meeting. Usually the information is distributed for us to review.
Okay.
Then we would go back. So I'm not sure that the actual process is accurate.
Okay.
And I got a little confused because you were talking about, I was trying to find the actual spot on here, salary information. There's no salary in either one of these documents. So that, I don't know what that's in here for. It doesn't seem to flow well to me. With the competencies, and I'm basing this on my prior work history, they're very much open to interpretation. So is there a way that you could give a description
Certainly.
That would minimize that interpretation and have it more consistent?
Absolutely. We're happy to add the definition of each of the competencies or even to provide some examples that you'd be able to look at or related to each competency. With the pay or the salary component, we would typically recommend you have that as a separate document.
You refer to it in your documents. That's why I'm asking.
Right.
I think that's in lieu of a bonus as a percentage of the salary. That's how it's referred to. Is that not right?
So you would have the ability to adopt an approach where the bonus is in lieu of a salary increase, or you would have the ability to give the salary increase as I believe the current contract is stated, and then you have the flexibility in the current contract to give a bonus on top of that.
I was hoping that we could, since we are changing how we compensate our CEO and we're attaching his pay raises to the rest of the organization, which certainly makes sense to me. We've kind of got a yes-no or evaluation. If you've met our expectations, you meet the criteria for a pay raise, and we'll be happy to have you here next year. If we're not happy with your performance, then you don't get a pay raise, but you'd also have to be considered whether you were going to be here next year or not. So to me, a bonus is more a true bonus that, okay, you've got a pay raise. How do we justify if we think you have been so exceptional that we want to do more? And I don't see a structure in here for doing that.
Sure.
Well, that would be the bonus, right?
That's what I'm talking about. Could we have some kind of a document like, is this additional information? Could that be used to somehow, if I think that our CEO needs money in addition to the typical 3% raise, I could say, here's the things he has done that are so exceptional that I think he ought to have this many more dollars in his pocket.
That's what this tool does.
And so, and please, Director Urbina, before.
Okay, my idea looking at this is that when we appraise, or in my experience also, if we appraise someone and that person happens to be in the highest category for everything that he did through the year, then we should assume that automatically puts that person in the category of being able to receive a bonus. And that if there is six items, and three of them are in that category, then maybe that's 50% of the bonus amount that we determine. But if it is all six of them, maybe we give them the top number, whatever it may be. Or if there is none in that category, then we don't give a bonus. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe we can do it a little simpler by doing something like that, where we assume outstanding performance as being the bonus. And if it is not outstanding, we just give them their salary increase, whatever they deserve.
I think we automatically, the salary increase is what the... what the rest of the organization gets every year. So that's already, that's taken care of.
Yeah.
So that what we're looking at is just a bonus for exceptional service. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're looking at.
Oh. Manny?
Yeah, I just got a couple. Somebody else?
Did you want to insert
something? Well, I kind of want to just elaborate a little bit, because we do have a few different components. Based off of what Dr. Ling and has put together, right, the board wanted to have input on what this new performance appraisal would look like. Weren't satisfied in the past with really kind of what we had, and what could we do to change that and get input on that. We do know, so what we've provided are these tools, instruments to use and to shape. So what we've given, it's a draft. You know, could we use different components and change it in a certain way that would help reflect identifying, should you all choose a bonus, and help you determine what that is? So in kind of in sight with that, the contract does state that, and I was going to read this here, so the base salary shall be made in line with authority's annual market level adjustment. Okay, so we identified the market level adjustment this year, 3%. So that's an automatic, and this is based off a contract. So Brian would automatically be getting that, okay, if y'all choose to keep him, right, ultimately?
Correct.
So adjustments, unless otherwise specified and approved by the board of directors. So that's one component of that, and that's 4A. If you go down to 4C, and I can pull that, have that pulled up if you wanted to look at that, but ultimately it's the pay for performance. The board of directors may establish a pay for performance bonus payment from time to time based upon the president and general manager's job description or job performance, to extent allowed by law. So, in essence, yes, this could be something that you all use as a tool to be able to determine. Should you choose, we want to give Brian a bonus. How do we determine that? Well, you have that now to use for something like that. So that is definitely an option to consider. And so those are the components based off of the research in that Dr. Ling and his staff has gathered and put together. So definitely that is part of the contract. Any questions or any clarification that I could add based off what I've spoken on?
So that states it as a bonus, not an increase in salary.
Correct.
3% or the whatever percent
is the market level adjustment.
Is the increase in salary. And this is truly a bonus.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
My opinion.
Cindy,
yes, sir.
Just a couple. I'm a great believer in the strategic goals for the evaluation process, because right at the beginning of the year, we know exactly what we want him to do. And if he accomplishes the goals that we set out to do, he's doing his job. That's what we expect him to do. And for me, for a bonus, it has to be way beyond. Hurricane that comes through and he's working 100 hours a week, and at the end of the year we say we could justify something like that. But just for doing someone's job and his duties, I think a bonus is going to be far in between, unless, like I said, it got to be something extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And on the second part, the numbers, the 1 through 5, once again, to me that's so subjective. If I give him a 3 on an area, then I have a responsibility as a board member to justify that on paper why I gave him a 3, Why not a 4? Why not a 5? And if that's the case, what does he have to do to get a 4 and a 5? And that's so subjective.
No, but there is a description for the 4 and a 5.
This is a description, but it's still subjective. The way is written now. I could see if one of the criteria was you have to go through, he has to attend 17 community events, and he does 17 or 18, well, he met that criteria. So we can measure that. But just to say he has to go to community events, and if he goes to 2 or 3, or if he goes through, we got to be able to really measure if we're going to use numbers 1 through 5. And I just have a hard time with that particular part of the evaluation process that's being presented, because I just can't see myself writing. I have to justify to me, and I have to be, and it's only right that I have to justify to Brian. And if he's not getting that 5, why? How come you're not? If I was in his shoes, I would say, Director Ortega, how come? What do I have to do to get to that 5? And if I can't articulate that, and then I think we have a problem. That's why I like the goals, things, metrics that I could measure at the end of the year and say, okay, he accomplished these things. He deserves that percentage.
Are you saying yes or no? Make it simple. Yes or no, he didn't accomplish, not 1 from 5.
Right.
He either did or he didn't.
And part of that is what you've gone through in your work experience. We had the meet expectations, below expectations, or exceeds, but I had a boss for 30 years who, if you met the expectations, you were doing way top notch. And if anybody ever exceeded, it was a miracle, because his expectations were so high that you had to work hard to meet his expectations. So that's where, when it says meets expectations, your expectations may be here, and mine may be here, and somebody else's may be there. So
mine would be a 3.
Yeah.
Because they met expectations. So but they didn't exceed. If they exceed, right, it goes 4 or 5.
But every, don't forget, every job is different. And in this particular situation, we're being told what the goals are. The infrastructure of this company needs certain things next year. I don't know, but I'm not an engineer. So we have to depend that the staff is going to give us the right goals that we're going to accomplish. Then we hold up. So this is a response in other places. And some of the jobs I had, I was the one that would set goals. And this is what I want to accomplish in 6 months. And if my staff didn't accomplish that, then they'll have to pay for that. But we can't do that here because it's a different environment.
Because he's doing a self-assessment.
Right now, yeah.
Now we're using the self-assessment, which sets goals for himself, and then we have something to predicate our decision on, because has he reached his goals?
Exactly.
This is a good addition. I like this self-assessment. That's exactly my favorite part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And could we possibly let him do his self-assessment, sit with him, and go through ours, which is similar, and say, well, yeah, I see where you're coming from. You exceeded expectations because you worked 100 hours during the hurricane or whatever. But
I think that was part of the process.
Well, and yes,
there is a sit-down part of the process.
So part of Brian's state of KUA, right, is identifying all those things outside of those strategic goals and bragging about, right, all these other things that might have come up through the year, as well as predicting what's to come. And then the goals, working, those are additional, right? The strategic goals, I agree, those are so important. Staff has put a lot of time into it, the VPs, Brian, you all, these have been identified. We're looking for the future. These are all huge, big picture things that we're all working towards as an organization. And so I think my recommendation, as opinion, is using those strategic goals. But what other measures, what other tools can you use to help with identifying the the 2 to me is this and a 3 to me is that? Well, then you have Brian stating his case, right, using his state of KUA. You're using identifying any goals because you would be working through those. Okay, anything additional for the year? Or you all coming from you and also from Brian. Something to consider.
That's and the evaluation, Brian, it's going to be very important, that self-evaluation.
Yep.
And the reason I'm saying this is that I want him to be honest and not only to probably list his strength, but I would not want him to look at weaknesses. And we as board members can't look down on that and say he's exposing himself to us and look at that. He doesn't deserve a pay raise because we want that honesty. Because if he's being honest with me, I like that. You know.
And we all want to grow.
So now he's setting goals. He might feel like he's weak in a little, some area of his management skills. And that's okay to say, okay, I'm working on this, and this is how I'm working at it. Mm-hmm. And then it's something we can measure for next year. And then when he does that self-evaluation again. So
Kathleen,
my
hand's been up quite a while now. I'll just barge in if you want me to. But the way I see it, it's three-pronged. Our assessment, his assessment, and sitting down with him individually to put the two together. Is that correct? Simple.
Yeah.
Simple. Just three steps. We assess, he assesses, and then we have individual meetings with him. Mm-hmm. That's to make it simple, because this could go on all night with conversations.
And to follow with that, there'll be a fourth step, which would be once you have done that, and I have done that, and she has done that, now we come together.
With compensation.
Our assessment could be very different. So now that discussion among us to come up with a final thing. Because he's not going to get five.
Okay, so are we kind of saying the forms for the strategic goal are fine, okay? The forms for our CEO's self-assessment look okay. Mm-hmm. Is there a way we would change what we're putting together, or do we want to put ours together as it stands, go to our joint meeting? Do we want to come out with a narrative from our part, or do we want to come out with the same forms when we come to the meeting here?
It's the same, yes, the same.
Okay.
Well, we've paid a lot of money for this. I think we ought to recognize his expertise in putting this together and use it. I mean,
right.
I can't believe that we wouldn't use it.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying...
Okay, I thought you weren't.
No, I'm saying strategic goals... What's in here is fine. Mm-hmm. Brian's self-evaluation, what's in here is fine. Our evaluation of Brian, do we want it as is in here?
Yes, just a summary.
Okay. Then what do we want to come to the meeting with our data? Just a blank piece of paper when we get into a discussion? Or do we want to go from these forms as they are?
The same forms.
Okay.
One of the things that was previously stated is that Brian's self-assessment would be put on a sheet, and we would have a second sheet for our own personal ones. To me, that's setting up a bias. I think that we need to take a look at the state of the art, assess that, and then assess based on the criteria in the document without having known how he's assessing himself. Because to me, it just adds a bias. Either you like it or you don't like it.
Well, I assume you have already just filled out this review of your own and answered the questions that you did, and then he's going to answer his, and then you're going to put it together with both answers. So therefore, you're not going to be writing your review after you talk with him. It's going to be before you talk to him, so there should be no bias whatsoever.
Well, but to go back to Manny's thing, to justify a 3, 4, or 5, we kind of need Brian's input to know. So maybe we can do it in pencil and put it in pen when we talk to Brian.
I can have a 1 in my mind, and by the time I meet with him, he has a 5, and
together,
and
yeah.
You understand why he's a 5 and why I'm a 1. Come back to some agreement or understanding. He's not biased.
I think we should make it as easy and simple as possible. I think it's too complicated.
His assessment would be in this document for us to review before we get out. To me, that sets up some level of bias, either pro or con.
Or research.
Yeah, research. Question, so, are you, Doctor, are you going to be here for the when we go? Is that part of the contract for him to be around when we go through the first phase, or when we, the first time we actually complete this?
It's not.
Is that part?
It's not part of the contract, but Cindy could reach out to me, ask me questions, post questions. If board members want to react to me, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have for me. That'd be no problem. With the point made in regards to do you receive his self-assessment before or after you do the evaluation, I can tell you some research points to, yes, it does create an inherent bias because I'm able to review that material before I review my own. And the research shows that I tend to give the same scores that the self-assessment gives. So that's what that research says. Then there's another part of research that says if I'm evaluating before I have it, I don't have all the information. I don't have the person's perception about themselves. So I think that camp is divided on what would be the better approach. What I would recommend, regardless of which way you do it, but probably more so if you don't have his self-assessment, when you do your initial assessment, the board should review his self-assessment before, as a group, you prepare the final assessment. Oh, yeah. So to move that later in the process is no problem. There's definitely organizations that do that, and the reason why is exactly what you're mentioning as the reason why. But when they set together, they do review that self-assessment before they prepare the board assessment. You know, if you have a single document that you've been talking about the last few minutes, you would review that before. And sometimes research says answers may change based on that. So there can even be an influence at that point, but you're doing it collectively versus individually. And so that either approach would be acceptable and be supported by a body of research. But your point is well taken. Yes, that is.
But to me, the observations we make over the period of time, as well as the state of the of mm-hmm. KUA as a report, though, with looking at both of those, we should be able to come up with our own assessment.
Absolutely, and I would argue that in reality, in real practice, you probably should be able to set those documents side by side and see a whole lot of redundancy. So rarely would a general manager or any senior leader write up one of those documents in isolation. So when that person writes the state of KUA, probably they're lifting out examples and pasting it into their evaluation, their self-evaluation anyway. They probably won't write the narrative twice or three times. And so there should be an incredible amount of consistency between them. But you're right, they could choose to accentuate certain characteristics in one versus the other, where the state of KUA, or what we're referring to that way, should be the umbrella. That should cover the major points that I want to make to the board as an executive before my review. That should be the most, in narrative, the most comprehensive of what I provide.
We can't take any action because this is a workshop, but we have to do something to evaluate Brian the 1st of April when his year is up. Are we comfortable enough with this that we could kind of use it for a trial run and just informally work through it and see how it goes and what the hiccups are?
I'm comfortable, but it's too long. There's too much. It needs to be simplified. Down to a couple of three pages because this is.
It is time consuming, and the word of I guess of caution I would say it. There's nothing wrong with you doing a run through in April with it, but I would not tie any action you make as a board
right.
Because you won't have that book. Remember the binder that I mentioned.
Right.
You won't. You could have a state of KUA by then, but that would put a little bit of an undue burden on the general manager to have that for you by then. So that process, if you adopt these tools or you shorten them, either way, a run-through is a good idea. A practice run is a good idea, but I would still go through your current process that is in place now, and any action you take that's formal, I would base it on those documents that you have in place. And it's basically just play the rules of the game or the rules of the game need to dictate what you did over the last year. But I think you're making a wonderful suggestion on piloting this and finding out what do you like, what do you not like. Many times boards go through one, sometimes even two practice runs before they completely implement. And so I believe when we met with Cindy, we talked about some boards would even do one mock-up and then 6 months later do another just to see how they feel before they ever get to that one-year point and they're actually using it. And by then, they've done it twice. They feel a little bit more comfortable. But the observation is correct. This is not a short process that we're talking about. That's why I mentioned that a lot of your peers spend, or they set aside a two-month window because they don't want to have to do it in one setting. They don't want to have to sit and fill out all these forms in an hour. It's something that they need the time. And in many cases, there's questions they indicated that are post-HR. And so there may be questions you have even about the book that you receive with the materials in it.
So what? Where do we take action on this or what?
So I was just going to point out our Directive 13-02 that was established in 2013. It in this directive, it clearly states that the review will utilize CO salary data for other municipal utilities throughout the state, as well as APPA. In the calculation, and I'm just summarizing, these are just a couple of highlights that I put on here, and the final calculation will result in a suggested compensation adjustment, which is the same compensation calculation utilized for all KUA merit employees in the middle of the third of their salary range. So what all that was, if you remember, was that spreadsheet that you kind of when some of you voice wanted to move from, that calculated what his, and this is speaking for Mr. Welsh's previous, what his compensation, his base increase would look like, right? So that it was used to identify that. So we have a couple of things. We have Brian's contract that identifies base is justified off of market level adjustment. That's pretty much a done set deal, right? This directive is stating something otherwise based off of compensation. So, Grant, could you provide some direction as what the board would need to...
I think we need to change that directive.
If the board, well, the board, if the board wants to change that directive, it can do so at the next meeting before you give the CEO his formal evaluation. That's what I would recommend you do. If you're not satisfied with this, you always have the flexibility and discretion to change something. But ideally, it would be on the agenda so the public has notice that it's going to be different this time around.
In fact, I have a question, though. Didn't you just say that it's based on the 3%? That would be what the raise would be? That's what I heard when you read that.
The contract, contract.
Jim's contract. That were 03 or whatever it is.
The final calculation will result in a suggested compensation adjustment, which is the same compensation calculation utilized for all merit KUA merit employees in the middle third of their salary range.
Which is that 3% that we've already done.
No. So the market level is separate. So this is a different calculation of a compensation that was used. That's separate from
this.
But this would be a bonus
for everybody.
This would.
Yes. So for merit employees, mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's still a practice.
Correct.
Are they tied in together? Our bonus that we might give Brian would be to all merit employees?
No.
Okay.
No.
Everybody gets two. Every year, everybody gets two.
Right.
A merit award and then the salary adjustment.
Right.
What's the merit award based on if we don't do this?
So the market level adjustment that the board approves that we, HR normally comes to you and recommends based off of the market, is adjustments of the salary ranges come 10-1. Okay, the salary ranges are adjusted, that percentage amount. That happens for our target and merit employees, so exempt and non-exempt. It's handled a little different when it comes to review time. So target employees get that adjustment. Merit employees upon their review based on their performance. So that's where it's a little different, and that's how, and that's what Mr. Welsh was utilizing come his annual review based off of his performance, the calculation of his increase in base pay. With Brian and his contract, he's getting, as all the other employees, that 3% to his base.
So merit employees are tied to the across-the-board thing and additionally tied to this now? No.
No. Okay. I was trying to just explain Mr. Welsh's.
Gotcha.
The calculation and how that was done. So it is different.
So with Brian, it'd be a bonus situation.
If that is something that you all did choose to do, it's in his contract, it's available. How you identify getting to a bonus, you could use what we've provided to do that.
In simple form.
It is simple. Jeannie, it is simple because all of that is explanation. But once you get to the forms, it's just a simple form.
Okay, just simple, simple. Okay.
Brian.
Just one point of clarification because I want to make sure that all the board is clear. The language both in the contract and in that directive speak of to a suggested compensation. You can go through the process that we've got in place today for the review next month and decide not to do anything at all. It's just suggestive. This board can say, okay, this is great. The numbers come out what the numbers come out with, but we're not comfortable doing that at this time. And that's completely within the board's prerogative. Am I correct?
You are, but I would absolutely you're correct. I would recommend that given that we have this directive and it's not been repealed, if the board wants to deviate from it, I do recommend that it be repealed before the review is formally undertaken.
And it sounds like we may need to sync the evaluation, the true evaluation, with the strategic goals. So this could kind of be an intermediary one, and then in September actually do the annual evaluation to rotate it till it's synced.
I think we can just do a practice one, if you'd like to call it that, in April, and the real one in September. That way we tie it already.
Yep.
It's just like a review, doing a review without compensation.
Yes. A midterm review, so to speak.
It's almost what we do every month when we meet one-on-one with him.
But does the contract require compensation?
No.
No, it's just regular.
No. No.
Well, we can't take action here, but we can say next month's agenda we need to deal with that directive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can't vote on it. You can basically say that
we need to deal with it.
Come back next month.
Would you have it on our agenda next month? So that'll deal with one little part of it.
We also need to have the general manager's self-assessment.
Yep.
And the HR's assessment, available
before the April.
Before April.
Yeah.
Another point. I would recommend that we not change the directive until the board decides what we're changing it to.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. You know, I don't think that that any of you want to change it in April just to finish this process and change it again.
Exactly.
But we've got what we're changing it to in your contract.
Well, I'm talking about the process that you guys are discussing now. Utilizing the strategic goals, the self-assessment, your assessment, what that looks and feels like. I'm not sure that I heard finality from the board as to what that looks like for y'all. That your assessment, and I think, am I right?
Is there any clarities? What's he asking?
You're right.
I think I agree with Brian, and I back to what Dr. Ling was mentioning. Any changes, we would highly recommend this would be going forward, right? So Brian has a chance to understand what's required, meet those goals, meet whatever that you all establish, changing if you decide to change it. But honestly, right now, we're already starting the process of going through the current review, what has been done in the past for Brian.
Can we informally Well, we'd have to put it on the agenda. Can we deal with the objective? Can we come to the conclusion that we need to do your evaluation in September instead of April, but that for this year only we'll do a midterm evaluation process? And we can say using both the old and the new method to gather data and talk about and figure going forward.
Each board member can use whatever criteria
that's
they
right.
want.
That's right. That's
concerned. But I would say not only this year. I kind of like the idea of having a mid-year review.
Yep.
That there's not going to be any compensation changed or anything else like that.
Just informal.
But just kind of an informal review where he gives us his assessment of what he's done for the previous months, and I like that idea, because then all at once we don't have to decide on one after
Grant. For the upcoming review, we want to comply to the letter of the contract. We have a contract with our CEO that has to be complied with. If it's at all inconsistent with this directive, I would suggest that the contract trumps the directive.
Correct.
But if it is, I think the board should at least suspend the directive for this review.
Okay.
If there's an inconsistency, that doesn't mean you're rescinding it, because you're basically going to amend it. So we don't get rid of the directive, but we don't want inconsistency between the directive and Brian's contract.
That could be something we could do tomorrow in a meeting, right?
Tomorrow?
No.
I mean, this afternoon. Next meeting.
I don't think he can do his research and come back with it by the meeting at 3:30, can you?
I can work on it.
Okay.
Well, I think it's very simple.
That we on just the agenda?
You have to amend the agenda. And you do have the authority to amend the agenda.
Okay.
If you want to do that.
Okay.
It's just a simple thing, isn't it, at this point?
Basically, the board would vote that in the event of any inconsistency between the directive and the contract with the CEO, the contract with the CEO shall prevail and the directive will be suspended until further addressed by the board.
Very good.
Can we quickly move on to our other thing, because we can't discuss that in the middle of the board meeting. The questions. Can we spend?
Oh, the applicants. Yeah, I'm done.
Can we?
Have you got enough, Cindy, to be okay?
I just have a comment regarding the pay. If there is to be approved for a bonus, that I feel that we should not add it to the base. That we should just give it as an outright.
Bonus, a check
that doesn't have anything.
Director Urbina, that's exactly what the contract says.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. But that was changed, I think. Yeah. Do you need any other advice from us or
directive?
No, I think we'll be addressing it at the board meeting, and then I can easily and vice versa, you all get with myself. This is a work in progress. This isn't, we didn't decide this now, it isn't going to happen. So
I think we built a hippopotamus today.
but I want to thank Dr. Ling and his staff for all their work.
Well, if we can hit this for a few minutes, we've not got many, but
we're through with this.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay. So the questions. What do we need to fix? What do we need to do?
I like some of the things that were added. I thought it read very well. Good. I love the idea that the board will ask individual questions at the end. Because I think that was been my biggest frustration is that I couldn't ask a question that had come up. So I like that addition.
Ray.
My one concern is with number 5, where it says, could exceed 30 days.
I can tell you where that came from. That if you apply, you get this packet of forms. Mm-hmm. Among those forms is estimated time required for KUA board members. And it says regular meeting 2 to 4 hours. Report review and meeting preparation 3 to 5 hours. Individual information briefing with general manager 2 to 4 hours. If you add those up, that's an 8-hour workday. That happens 12 times a year. So there's 12 days before you add anything else in. So if you add in Tallahassee, Washington, APPA and FMPA, you're at 30 days.
Yeah.
Yep. I didn't even add in other things, but I just sort of felt like people ought to understand that they're making a pretty darn big size commitment. And that's going to the bottom of this, adding 2 hours, 3 hours, and 4 hours, not even taking it to the maximum. So, and it was shocking when I added that up and thought, dang, do I spend 30 days a year? Well, I went back and looked at mileage that I'd driven, and yep.
You want a bonus.
Want a bonus. Yeah. She double our salary since we spend all that time.
Well, I think at the time we spend at home or reading our agendas and going through and trying to figure stuff out. And,
yeah.
And if we do it right, we spend that much, if not more. They should know that.
Absolutely. And if it scares them off, then
yeah,
so be it. Anything else?
This is not for fun.
No. Okay, so if there's no other questions, I didn't have to call it quit to the other sooner, but
I think it was time to quit it.
All the questions were the same. I mean, they're the same as before.
We modified a few questions feedback that we got from a few directors.
Trying to get some more in-depth information of what they'd done before that would feed into being here. And it's, you know, just if they go over this whole thing, they'll learn the answers to 9/10 of the question, and we'll learn if they've gone over this whole thing.
Well, they have an advantage over me. I didn't get that when I came.
I don't think I ever did that before.
I did.
You got one of those?
Oh, yeah.
You came on? I never did.
I came here cold.
You want me to give you this one? So you can find out what you're doing.
It's
going
to take me 5 years to learn.
Okay. Anything else for the workshop before we go to the board meeting? Okay, then I'll adjourn this.
Okay. All right, we need to.